Here is what the kingdom of heaven will be like at that time. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but didn't take any olive oil with them. The wise ones took oil in jars along with their lamps. The groom did not come for a long time, so the bridesmaids all grew tired and fell asleep. Then all the bridesmaids woke up and got their lamps ready. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for all of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil. Buy some for yourselves." So they went to buy the oil, but while they were on the way, the groom arrived. The bridesmaids who were ready went in with him. Then the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "What I'm about to tell you is true. I don't know you. So keep watch. You do not know the day or the hour that the groom will come." So this time of Advent, it's important to recognize it's a time when we have this build-up to think about Jesus coming, don't we? And it's a time of thoughtfulness. But it's also a time as well, as Jesus gave this passage as well, that we're also to think about the second coming of Jesus again as well. The Advent, when's Jesus going to come again? We're looking forward to that. And there's a mixture in this passage as well, with the adventure, of both some excitement, but also a bit of a note of caution in this story from Jesus, isn't it? Because he not only said, yeah, get ready, be excited about the groom coming, but it also said, are you going to have oil in your lamp? Are you ready to go? Now, the word Advent, and it comes from the word Adventus, which means arrival or coming. So who are we waiting for? Well, hopefully, the answer, as they say in all best Sunday school answers, is Jesus, as we know is the answer to a lot of questions in Sunday school. And the word pilgrim, which I like to think about, it also goes with Advent, is a person who travels a long journey to a sacred place because of devotion and love. And I like to think about us as being Advent pilgrims. We're going in this month, we're on a pilgrimage towards the birth of the Lord Jesus, we're thinking about it, and as we go through Advent, through the different Sundays, it's like staging posts where we think and we have a time of reflection. I was talking to Joy yesterday, and I mean, what would it be like if we just got to Christmas Day, there was no build-up, and we just got slam dunked into Christmas Day, and that was it, boom. But we have a wonderful opportunity over this month, and the church fathers back in 500 AD came up with this concept about having the Advent Sundays to help people to think about Jesus' time of coming and also the second coming. Now, you know me, I like a rucksack, don't I? I like my rucksack. I haven't brought it today. Well, I've got my little one, actually. Where's my little one? Over there. I always carry my rucksack around. And as you know, I always have a bright one so I don't leave it on the train. No black rucksacks for me. Some hiking boots. And now we've got the candle in the lantern. So what do we need to be Advent pilgrims? Well, we are going to need to have good light in our lantern. You can see the candles over here. I don't know if the kids can see them. Can you see how many candles are here? Can the kids see candles here? Can you see them? How many candles?
Five.
Okay. So now listen, here's a thing. Kids, there's five candles and there's one in the middle. What do you think the one in the middle's for? Jesus. That's the right Sunday school answer, and that is correct. Absolutely right, and we're going to come to that in a minute. And so we go through these 4 weeks, and we go through each stage, and then at Christmas, in the church calendar, there's the on Christmas Day, we light the white one, which symbolises Jesus Christ, the unblemished Lamb of God. So let's just talk through the candles that we are going to need on our, if you like, as Advent pilgrims. What are the candles that we are going to need to light our way? Well, let's just read this verse together. Isaiah 11. "A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." And this first one is often symbolized with hope. And it's often symbolized with the patriarchs, David and Abraham, going right back. And those times where the people, if you remember, in darkness have seen a great light. They were looking forward to the future of the coming of the Messiah. I often think about their groans. Imagine, if you read the Old Testament, you read about all these tyrant kings, don't you? Who abused their power. You think about the Israelites, think about Moses, think about them under the oppression of the Egyptians, groaning out, say, one day, Lord, will a great king of justice come about? And isn't it amazing that this Advent time, even in our Advent pilgrimage, we actually link with them in the past. We're almost alongside them. As we look to Jesus coming again for the second time, then something of us groans for that. We long to see Jesus come again, to take kingship, and we're longing for that time, and that links us with that. And so hope, I just love that word hope there. Colossians 1:27 talks about, believe it or not, that the hope is through Jesus in us, shared with other people. Do you know that's amazing? Do you know that the hope for many people is Jesus through us? Jesus wants us to be, if you like, his servants, to go and share the gospel with other people. And I don't know, did you see the email that I sent around this week? Did any of you read my Black Friday email this week? And for those of you who didn't, and if you didn't get the email, tell me afterwards, because it's a good test if you didn't, and I'll check your emails correct. But in there, I just shared an account of a friend of mine called Roger. And Roger was like me, I was going to say a boring accountant, but he's not a boring accountant. He's one of the most interesting accountants I've ever met. He's even wackier than me. And Roger is a Brummie. He talks, "Oh, Rod, Dave, you're right, you're that." And I met him, and he was in his 50s, and he was just getting on with his life. And then we were just buddies. We got to know each other. He was in another charity. We made friends with each other. We both liked computers. We found that we were interested in the same kind of things. And he said, "Oh, Rod, Dave, you work for the Baptist, don't you? What's that about then? What do you work for them?" So, and I can say that because I'm from Birmingham, so. And he went, "Well, why'd you do it then, Dave? You know, well, why did you become Christian and all that?" So I just spoke to him over the years. I didn't think a lot about it. And as you probably saw in the email, I was down at a drinks do for, it was a kind of drinks, posh frocks, posh suits thing for a sort of book launch in the charity sector. And we'd both written a bit for this book, so we were having it there. And we were in the cellar or basement of St. Paul's Cathedral. And he said, "All right, Dave, let's do it then." "Okay, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, this is a good place for it, Dave." I said, "What do you mean?" I didn't get it, you see. He said, "I want to become a Christian here, now." So you've got to imagine, and I know that Sarah was very respectful about my mulled wine, but I had a glass of something bubbly here. I had my hors d'oeuvres here, right? Got 50 people around, all from the great and the good, and Roger is saying, "I want to do the prayer of faith to become a Christian." And he's saying, "Well, Dave, what did St. Paul's? This is the crypt or the basement. I mean, it's the cellar. We're in," he said, "the best place in the country to do it, isn't it?" So we put the hors d'oeuvres down in the bubbly. And we go across and Roger just gives his life to the Lord. I'm astonished. And he said, "Dave, you've done so much for me." And I thought, "I've done nothing. I've just been his friend. I've just done nothing. I hadn't done anything of a big nature." And then I went to his retirement do this week. And funnily enough, he chose to go to a place that was just opposite St. Paul's for his retirement bash. And we were there. And on his slides, he was just sharing. And it was great because, again, he had some of the great and the good around quotes. And he was just sharing how he was going for early retirement. And he was really actively involved in his church. He's into his church in the middle of Birmingham. He was getting absolutely stuck in as a volunteer. He's a lay reader. And he's just got involved in his local charity for disability. And his life has changed. He came to me, he put his arm around me and said, "Dave, thank you so much." And a little tear rolled down his cheek. Now, what I'm saying is, Roger Brummie, 55 years old, right? Just life changed. And I think what I'm saying is the hope, and I'm thinking, I didn't think I'd done anything. I really didn't think I'd done anything. It shocked me. And I just want you to know that the hope of the world, Jesus communicated through you, through the people that you meet, through the Christmas party, through the conversations that you have. You do not realise the impact you have on people's lives. I just want to pray about that. Lord, I just want to pray for folks here even today. Lord, they may not realise even that impact they're having on people's lives, sharing the love of Jesus in thought and word and deed. And I just pray, Lord, even this week, would you help them to see how important their Christian workplace, whether it be at home, whether it be down the library, whether it be down the shops, whether it be with at work or wherever, Lord, would you show them that? And I pray, Lord, you'd help each one of us, Lord, to be a shining beacon light for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Another sign of hope here, which I just pick up. Does anybody know what that picture is of? It's like a little test. Anybody know what that picture is of? Anybody historian here? If I say the Cold War, does that mean anything to anybody? Yeah? No, somebody said it, I think. Yeah. It's Leonard Brezhnev's funeral. And I don't know if you can see it, but that's basically the vice chairman, I think, of the Politburo, or whatever they call it. I'm not a big historian, so you have to forgive me. And there is Brezhnev's widow. Now, what she did, which was a real sign of hope for Russia at the time, and you've got to imagine this, that when Leonid Brezhnev died, Russia was one of the most secular countries of the world in terms of being anti-Christian, right? And what she did, just, and it's not in this picture, was just after this, she went to his body, she did the sign of the cross over him, and she prayed for him. And that was one of the biggest symbols to the Russian people, that Leonid Brezhnev had stood for all this big Soviet Union communism stance against the Lord. And this was her saying a sign of hope that this man still needed Jesus Christ. And she recognised that from her position, and she was bold enough. It's a sign of hope for the Russian community. And I just want to pray for those. Should we just pray for those countries even now where people are making stands? Lord, I just want to pray for those countries now. We think of our brothers and sisters in Iran, Iraq, Syria. We think of the Vicar of Baghdad, Lord. We lift these people to you in different situations. Lord, we pray, Lord, for your hope to shine through. We pray in Russia with Putin. We think of China. We think of the, Lord, the way that sometimes they'll crack down on Christianity, sometimes in an obvious way, but sometimes in much more subtle ways with the secret police. Lord, we pray, would you help your Christians, Lord, to stand forth as beacons of life? Lord, even in today, Lord, in the thinking, Lord, whether it be in Lebanon as well, Lord, we pray for them there, Lord. Would you help those people? I think of the brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, some of whom I've been privileged to meet, Lord, at the Bethlehem Bible College. Lord, would you help those people at this time as they seek to be beacons of hope in their community? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I know, where's Joy? We're going on to the second candle now, love. Is that all right, fitting with you? Or do you want to light the first one? We weren't too sure about the fire eggs and whether it'll... Yes, you want to light one? We'll light the first one. Yeah, do the kids want to light it? We've just done the first one. So I don't know if the kids want to come light it, or are you going to light it? So they can come back and
do this. Do you want to come light the candles, folks? Anyone?
Who's going to come? You're all going to get a go.
Right, so I don't know how you're going to do this together. You can come and watch. We'll let Chantal do it.
I set that one off to you.
You'll probably just do one each.
Yeah.
Just one there.
And you can come down and do the other one there. Fantastic. Great. So they've lit the first candle for hope. The second one is love. And we've got this wonderful passage here from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, one thing that is so sad is some people don't realise that God loves the world. They put God into the category of ogre, don't they? They see God as uncaring, a distant God away from the situation, and nothing could be further from the truth. The truth that we need to share is God is close to people's lives, and God loves the world so much to give his only begotten Son. Isn't that amazing? Can we just take that in? And that we have that free gift that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And again, as I put in the email yesterday, I was writing about Black Friday, and people, I was gobsmacked, to be honest, that people were there at 12:01 at Tesco's to get a cheap telly. I mean, maybe it's me. I mean, I did say as well, God bless people. If they needed something cheap, look, God bless them, because maybe they're in a desperate position and they needed that 100 quid off the telly to get it. So I'm not going to judge it. But if I look at the whole of the fever across the country, I have to say my instant reaction was to say, people can get out of their beds at 1 minute past 12 to go into Tesco's for 25 quid. But what they don't see is the free gift of Jesus Christ that is eternal life. Never mind a free telly that's going to be broken in 5 years. The gift this Christmas, and I think that's so much, isn't it? We've got to do it. We can share that hope this Christmas for the Christmas party to the kids and the other folks. Is the challenge that we have is to say, look, God bless you with your bargains. That's great. But we've got something that's better than a bargain. We've got eternal life, and it's a gift in the Christ. You don't need your credit card. You just need to do what Roger did. Say, Dave, can we pray? No problem, mate. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. We do it right now. I just want to pray, Lord, for anybody here right now hasn't given their life to the Lord, and maybe, Lord, they've been thinking about it. Maybe they need to recommit their life to the Lord. Lord, this is a gift, eternal life, your Son given. Lord, it's almost too big for us to take in. Lord, help us to do that, and help us, Lord, in the rush of Christmas, Lord, to see the gift that you are offering, which is eternal life, Lord, and a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love never fails. It's always rock solid from the Lord to us. We thank him for that. Can I just share this with you about love as well this Christmas time? Because, sad to say it, but if you look at the stats as well, Christmas time, I don't know if you've seen it, it sounds awful to say it, it's also one of the times when people have the biggest bust-ups. And particularly, I'd say families. They don't get together for a year. They get together, they meet the brother-in-law, the sister-in-law, the auntie, the uncle that they've never got on with. It's all going swimmingly until about the third hour, and then things get out of control, or is that... And then it's like, oh my goodness me, don't talk to me again for 10 years. And so actually it's a time that as we go into Christmas, you may be facing meetings and meals and social dues that, let me be honest, you're not looking forward to. Is it, you know, maybe somebody that you're thinking, I've got to meet Uncle Harry or Auntie Beryl or Sister this. I am really not looking forward to this because actually this is going to be so painful. I just want to pray, Lord, for anybody who's got one of those really big, difficult social dues this Christmas, Lord, I pray for us. Lord, will you help us to have grace and truth in those situations? Help us not to react and help us to be keep calm, Lord, and to shower love in that situation. In Jesus' name, amen. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbour, act as if you did." As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved somebody, you will presently come to love him. You know, I'd say if you've got a difficult situation at work or somebody's being nasty to you or somebody like the neighbour that you're not getting on with, I would just say, just keep trying to, it may be an act of will, but do the love. Do the love. Maybe you're in a difficult relationship situation. Do the love. Keep doing the love. Keep pouring it in. It may take a while. It may take 6 months, 12 months. But keep doing the love. Don't let it twist you up. It will twist you up if you hate. If you hate, you will hate more. If you love, you will love more. Choose to love, not choose to hate. It takes an act of will to do that, doesn't it? Let's be honest. It takes an act of real depth. What I like about this picture, by the way, is that when I saw it, is what do you think I liked about that picture? Yeah, it's over the fence neighbours. And the other thing I thought is, compared with the many of the fences we have, is it's a low fence. It's not a 6 foot, 7 foot fence that we sometimes have with no light. It's nice that they're close enough as neighbours that they actually have a low fence. I mean, so many times I go around, an increasing trend is to build higher walls, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful when we can have low fences? My kids used to sometimes say to me, I think they've probably changed their mind on this, but we used to one time think, wouldn't it be great, Dad, if we got three houses together when we were all big, and then we'll just knock all the fences through down the street, and we can, all the kids could just play together. We could have a football pitch out the back. But in one way, isn't that a picture of God's kingdom? Wouldn't it be great if we actually got on so well we could knock all the fences through? Wouldn't that be great? Have a fantastic football pitch, couldn't we? But it would be great. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to get to that point. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Joy, should we light the second candle? Got the love candle. Who's going to come and write to the love candle? They're faster this time. We've got any matches here? Has Joy got the matches? Okay, let me see. I don't have them, I don't think. But, oh, here they are. Right. Everybody gets a go. By the way, the first, if you look up Advent, what you'll find is that different denominations have different traditions, and actually they even have different candle colours. But generally speaking, the first two candles are usually purple, which signifies it's a kind of a royalty type of colour. So it's a priestly kind of colour. That's great, and you're going to do the next one, Peter, don't worry. Okay, and Joy, I like this one for obvious reasons. Same as somebody I love. Shall we read this one together? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." I mean, isn't that wonderful? This is good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And we need to remember that the joy of the Lord should be yours and my strength. You know, as we go on our daily walk in lives, what's the thing that's our strength? Our strength should come from the joy that we find in the Lord. And let me just share with you this little story as well that I found quite amusing. There was a tale where a pastor went to a new church, and it was a Presbyterian church, and it was they were fairly down, they were fairly dry. And he gave everybody in the church a helium balloon. And he said, "As we go through our time of praise and worship, I want you to just let your helium balloon go. As you feel the joy of the Lord, just let go your helium balloon and let it rise to the ceiling, the expression that you're feeling that joy." Only problem was, he got to the end of the service and 2/3 were still held gripped around the helium balloon. And I think I just want to share with you, you know, one of the secrets to joy is to let it go in praise and worship to God. As the psalm there says, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth, bring out in praise and sing for joy." Now that for you could be in the car, right? You could like singing in the car, and you might like doing it in the kitchen or the bath. But you know, there is a very special thing that happens when we praise God and we go out. God fills us with joy. I've sometimes had to say, "Lord, I actually feel really down today, but I will praise your name. I will choose to praise your name. I will sing to you today." And it's something marvellous that happens. Can I just encourage you that if you're actually feeling down, that you dig from deep and you say, "I'm going to praise you, God. Good day, bad day, no night's sleep, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to choose to do that." We've got to learn to let our balloons go. We've got to learn to let go of our balloons and worship God. And when we do that, and particularly at this Christmas time, we've been through Christmases before, as we let go, as we sing those carols, as we sing those hymns of praise, is when we praise God, that thing for which we were created for, to not do it is denying, if you like, his authority over our life and who we are and our identity in Jesus Christ. When we do that, then we are filled with great joy. So Joy's going to come up again, my joy, and we're going to just light this candle of joy. And you may notice that on the candle colour this time, it changes colour. And it changes this time to pink. And it's a sign that we're moving out of that time, if you like, into more towards that joyful time. Yeah, give a clap. Well done. Well done. And we move on to the fourth candle, a candle of peace. Let's read together. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, I wish I could say to you that that never happens to me, that I always have peace all the time, 100% of the time. I'm never troubled, and I'm never afraid. But that would be a complete and total lie. And I think that's one of the things, by the way, as Christians, that we need to be real Christians with each other, don't we? I don't want to be artificial with you or say that the way things are, because then that's not going to bless you. We need to be honest with each other. Sometimes we don't necessarily always have that peace that we should. So how then, you may ask, should we find that peace? I love that picture. How should we find that peace? Well, let's look at what the scriptures say. Let's read this together. I want you to take this in. And if you have any anxious thoughts or worries, even as we read these words together, I want you to pray for the Lord's peace in your life. Should we read these together? Do not be anxious about anything, but by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we pray that. We pray, Lord, we've read those words out loud, Lord. Lord, even now, folks, I just want to pray, Lord, would you give your petitions to God? Would you bring any anxious thoughts that you have? Lord, we lift them to you. And we do pray, Lord, that that peace which transcends all understanding, which you have promised through your scriptures, we call upon your word and pray, Lord, that you would give us that peace and that you would guard your hearts, our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ as you have promised us. So we call upon that promise now, Lord. I pray for anybody that's got a troubled heart this morning, any anxiousness. Lord, we give that to you and pray for your peace even this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Joy, back up again. We're going to do the fourth one, which is peace. Who's going to come and do this one? Somebody not done one? Yeah, great. And I just gave my anxious thought that the fire alarm might go off from this, and that was all fine. Okay, well done. That's a real professional on that. Give a clap to that. And then we turn to the light of the world, Jesus. Let's read these words from Revelation together. Look, I am coming soon. I bring my rewards with me. I will reward each person for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will have the right to come to the tree of life. They will be allowed to go through the gates into the city. Praise God. Praise God. And I love this picture here. You may not be able to see it brilliantly on there, but some of the great painters have painted the nativity scene. I don't know about you, but as the years go by, the thing is we can say, well, it's another Christmas. It's another Christmas. My prayer would be, Lord, soften my heart so that every year again I see the babe again. You know that some people around here have got little babies, some people are grandparents, and what I love is that sometimes you see like these tough blokes, right, and then they have a grandchild, see a little baby, and suddenly it's like they've suddenly gone gooey. And something special happens when we see that promise of new life. There's something beautiful, hopeful, joyful. I think it's also particularly a sign, let's be honest as well, that sometimes when people feel that they've messed their lives up, it's a lot like a sign of a new hope. It's something, it's a new start again. And God's given us a new start, given us new hope. And this is the light of the world. And also we just take in again as well from that picture, don't we, that what... It's amazing that God, Jesus, in this form, so innocent. You look at that little baby, is it going to make it through? What's Herod going to do? How's it going to survive? And yet we wonder at the gift that has been given to us. But as we look at this gift as well, we also need to think as well, as it says in the passage of scriptures, is that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but he's going to come again. That's a surety. We need to live in the confidence of that, that Jesus is coming. We don't know when. We're told that not even the angels in heaven know the day or the hour or the minute of that. But we are told that we should be ready for it. And so we just need to pray that our lives would be sanctified through the blood of the Lord Jesus and a faith in him, so that, as it says, blessed are those who wash their robes. But we know that only those who have their robes washed are those that come through the blood of the Lamb, that is the light of the world, that is Jesus. Lord, we just pray this Christmas. We pray, Lord, I pray for hearts here. Maybe people have, there might be folks who feel like they've backslidden a bit recently. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that with the wonder of Christmas, the sign, Lord, of the babe in the manger, Lord, would it strike through to our hearts again? We also pray, Lord, about this promise that Jesus is going to come again. And he's going to come again, Lord, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And people will see it. There will be no second chances, Lord, at that time when Jesus comes again. So there's a sense of urgency that we need to have, Lord, both about our own lives, about getting right with you, Lord, but also an urgency about sharing the gospel while we have breath for the people that we love around us. So, Lord, would you give us both that sense of delight and also that sense of purpose at this time? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you want to come in? Who hasn't lit one? Okay, here we go. And we just need to make sure that we're not burnt on this one. And this middle one is the one. What did you say this middle one was?
Jesus.
And it represents the white represents the unblemished Lamb of God. The candle's at the centre, which shows that Jesus is at the centre. And just whilst they're doing that as well, can you see the green wreath? And it's made of evergreen material. And that's to represent eternity, that God's love is eternal for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful? Eternal life. Eternal love that will never, never die. Shall we pray our closing prayer together before we sing the last couple of songs together? Let's pray this Advent prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, our Prince of Peace, we pray that every time a carol is sung, a Christmas greeting spoken, a nativity play performed, that your name be honoured and glorified, and that hard hearts be melted to receive you afresh. Amen.